a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
We'll call House Health and Human Service Committee to order. Welcome everybody, and I think what we'll do is we'll start with a roll call.
Representative Blake.
Here.
Hager.
Here.
Hawley.
Here.
Hickey.
Here.
Ironcloud. Jensen.
Here.
Lucas.
Here.
Magstead.
Here.
Sly.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Strickers. Munsterman.
Yep.
Boomgarden.
Here.
Mr. Chair, there's a quorum.
Quorum is present, and I'd like to welcome all of the internet listeners as well as welcome the guests in present. I think a first warning that we'll give is our customary warning of making sure all electronic devices and cell phones are in the vibrate or off position. I just caught my own computer on a beep a little bit ago, so please be careful so you don't incur that civil penalty implied by the speaker. We are going to have a change in the bill order this morning. We are going to move House Bill 1012 to the top of the calendar. That'll be the first one. 1012, House Bill 1012 will move to the top of the calendar. And if there's any other comments from the committee. If we approve the minutes. The chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from last session. Moved by Blake and seconded by Representative Steele. All in favor of approval of minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Minutes are approved. And as we said, we'll take testimony on House Bill 1012, which is going to be change the terminology for mental retard, mentally retarded, mental retardation, and other similar terms in statute, and to provide for a change in printed material and signage. Public testimony will open. The chair is going to speak on behalf of the department, and there is some issues with the terminology between the state and the federal language. Therefore, the request has been made by the department to table this bill. Chair is going to entertain a motion at this time.
I'd move to table.
Motion to table by Representative Munsterman. We have a second by Representative Jensen. This is final action. It will be a roll call vote. Those in support of the tabling motion will signify by saying aye. Those opposed will signify by saying no. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Blake.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hickey.
Aye.
Ironcloud. Jensen.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Magstead.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Strickers. Boom, Munsterman.
Aye.
Boomgarden.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there were 11 yeas, 2 excused.
House Bill 1012 has been tabled, and then we will move on to the regular order of the calendar now. We'll take public testimony on House Bill 1011. House Bill 1011 is to revise certain provisions pertaining to domestic abuse programs. We'll now open for proponent testimony. And good morning, Madam Secretary. If you have any handouts, the pages can please hand them out for you. Please sign in at the guest book, I believe, so we can get the names properly in the journal, and then I'll go ahead and proceed when you're ready.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Kim Elsom-Ryson with the Department of Social Services. I'm here as a proponent of House Bill 1011. This bill has to do with two parts of Chapter 2510 that pertain to domestic violence programs across our state. The Department of Social Services convened a work group here last fall that was comprised of provider directors, victim advocates, and the two provider associations for domestic violence programs across our state to just dust off the statutes, take a look at what we had, what we need, and make some recommendations for moving forward. And so in a collaborative fashion, we started from scratch and looked at everything that our current statutes have. And so this bill is really the culmination of that effort. Sections 1 and 2 of this bill update the statutes that are used by counties to fund local domestic violence programs in their areas. And so when we came across the statutes that had to do with counties, we then started to work with the county officials associations. And so we obviously worked very closely with them, and they support the changes that we're seeking here. Section 1 specifically clarifies that counties cannot receive individual specific information about people that receive services from these programs as a condition of the county funding that they provide. And so that's not changing anything. It's just really clarifying what the current practice is and what the current state of the art is, and really is consistent with federal policy and law in this area. Section 2 adds that programs that are funded by counties must meet the minimum requirements that we're setting out in a later section so that there's good integration and that we don't have different standards based on different funding sources. And so, again, we worked with the county folks on this, and they support these changes. Sections 3 and 4 of the bill really have to do with the state funding of these programs. And so our department does provide funding to domestic violence programs across the state. The vast majority of the funds that we provide are federal. And so we always have to take into account kind of what our federal funding requirements are, what the definitions are that they use. There's not a great level of there's a good level of consistency, but they're not always consistent, so we're always kind of juggling that part. And so we took that all into account as we are working through these. Section 3 of the bill just clarifies that the primary purpose of programs that we fund are to serve victims of domestic violence. These aren't offshoots of other things. That's kind of what they're in the business of doing. Again, this doesn't represent a change for any of the agencies that we work with. The other thing that Section 3 does is it adds to what we kind of call those core services that these providers do provide across the state. Victim advocacy is first and foremost probably the major thing that all shelters and all programs provide, and so we've added that. The other thing that we did is also emphasize the confidentiality, and it's such a key part of what these programs do and what they need to do, and so we've added that to that minimum requirement aspect as well. Again, it doesn't change current practice. It doesn't prohibit emergency communications that programs might have to make if a person was in jeopardy or their safety was in question. But again, to the extent that somebody says, hey, you know, I'm interested in knowing who's accessing your shelter services, that just really needs to be kept confidential, and the statute then helps clarify that part. Section 4 of the bill actually updates our department's rulemaking authority, and so it doesn't substantively change it other than it just clarifies the language to be consistent with what we use now. I would note that these statutes were actually implemented in 1989, and so our just terminology has changed, it actually removes some rulemaking authority that just doesn't apply because we have to use what the federal government gives us for guidelines for making grants in this area. Sections 5 through 14 are really the volume of this bill, and those are all repeals of statutes that are either redundant or otherwise unnecessary. And so we took due diligence to look hard at what we had and what we need, and so these were all parts of the code that aren't needed either by the counties for their use with these programs or by the state. So with that, we would urge your support of 10-11, and I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Any other proponents for House Bill 1011? Other proponent testimony for House Bill 1011? And final call, proponent testimony for House Bill 1011? Hearing none, we'll move on to opponent testimony. Any opponent testimony for House Bill 1011? Opponent testimony for House Bill 1011. And hearing none, we will move on to committee questions. Any questions from the committee? Representative Munsterman.
I guess one thing that I was curious, will this increase any costs to the state government? And in particular, I was looking at Section 3 by adding victim advocacy.
Thank you, Representative, for that question. Kim Molson Rison again. No, this bill does not add any cost. Victim advocacy is a core function and a core requirement of, again, our federal funding sources, so it's something that is happening right now. Yeah.
Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Another question for the Secretary. The funding, I thought there were some state funds that we used, like the marriage license fees and some from the horse racing from Fort Pierre in Aberdeen.
Representative, thank you for that question. The funding sources that are used for this service delivery system are primarily federal. From the perspective of our State Department and what we work with, we have about $3.5 million in a given year. That's what we spent last year. All but $250,000 of that is federal funding. So we have $250,000 of general funds. That actually was the horse racing funds when that started. And that's actually where these statutes came from. So a bit of trivia history there. So that has since been moved into our base budget now for several years. And so it's not, you know, as connected that way. The counties, the funding that the counties use are the marriage license and divorce decree fees that are set out in other statutes.
Thank you. Other questions from the committee? Representative Ironclad III.
Thank you. Could you kind of, I guess, have a comment here, a request, and a question here on your the Department of Social Services convened a work group including provider directors, victim advocates, and provider associations for to draft the changes. Could you talk a little bit about that collaboration? And also, was there any victims, if that's the right word to use, that had, participated in these changes?
Secretary.
Thank you, Representative. The work group was comprised of kind of who you see here. And so we wanted to get a cross representation of folks that are working in this field. We actually have expanded that work group now, since they've been looking, since they've done their work relative to the statutes, and we're actually now looking at our administrative rules. And so we have added some members, from some other, perspectives, onto our work group, again, to get a full-bodied kind of approach there. I don't believe we actually have a person that's actually used these services. I think we've added a board member who is a community representative of one of the agencies. But what we did do is look for cross-representation of agencies across the state to make sure we were kind of getting the rural perspective, the perspective of agencies that are in the larger towns. So that's how we tried to structure that.
Other committee questions?
Thank you.
Hearing none, we'll move to committee discussion and or action. Representative Lucas moves do pass. Seconded from Representative Munsterman. This will be a roll call vote. Those in support of the motion for a do pass action on House Bill 1011, which is to revise certain provisions pertaining to a domestic abuse program, will signify by saying aye. Those opposed to the motion to move to the House floor will signify by saying no. Will the Secretary please call a roll?
Representative Blake.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hickey.
Aye.
Ironclad.
Aye.
Stjensen.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Magstead.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Strickers. Munsterman.
Aye.
Boomgarden.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 11 yeas, one excused.
House Bill 1011 has passed. We'll move down to the House floor. I think we will go ahead and assign this bill. Representative Hawley, would you mind taking this one to the caucus and also present on the House floor as well? And Representative Hagar, I did not speak to you earlier. Would you mind bringing this to our House caucus, please? Okay, we'll move to House Bill 1013. House Bill 1013 is to revise the membership of the Board of Examiners for Counselors and Marriage and Family Therapists. We'll go ahead and open up to proponent testimony for House Bill 1013.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joyce Voss. I've been the Executive Secretary to the Board since 1996, and I'm bringing to you House Bill 1013. It defines the makeup of the Board of Examiners for Counselors and Marriage and Family Therapists. When the Board was expanded by two members upon our request in 2005, we lost the specification that a counselor educator be part of that Board makeup when it got included in the Governor's Omnibus Bill. The requirement to include a counselor educator board member had been in statute since inception. Why now? Well, as time passes and board members rotate, we're concerned that eventually we wouldn't be able to get a member appointed as needed. So we thought we'd put it in statute again. Past and present board members understand that there is a need for a counselor educator to be part of the board. We feel it is eminent to make the distinction again in statute. The counselor educator has the charge of final review of all the completed applications for licensure. The counselor educator has the professional ability to review numerous and varied university transcripts to determine their eligibility. The counselor educator has the ability to ask for any necessary or additional information in an expedient and the appropriate way. These are all very important elements in the application for licensure review and approval process. This concludes my testimony on the bill to have a specific designation for a counselor educator on the board. I urge you to vote favorably and consider this legislation, and I stand by for any questions or comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boss. Other proponent testimony for House Bill 1013? Any additional proponent testimony for House Bill 1013? Hearing no further proponent testimony for House Bill 1013, we'll move to opponent testimony for House Bill 1013. And we'll move to last call, House opponent testimony for House Bill 1013. Okay, we'll close opponent testimony and move to committee questions. Any questions from the committee regarding the proposed bill? Representative Munsterman.
This would just be a designation of one of your board spots that you currently have. It would be designated as
Mrs. Voss
or counselor.
Yes, that's correct. We have 9 spots on the board, and this would just change from a general member in the profession to be a counselor educator.
So it's not an expansion of the board and
absolutely not
an expansion of costs. So
correct.
Thank you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Other committee questions? We'll close committee questions. Thank you, Mrs. Voss. And move to committee discussion and or action. Any action from the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Blake.
I move to pass on House Bill 1013.
Representative Blake does a do pass motion for House Bill 1013 and seconded by Representative Ironcloud. Okay. Those in favor of the motion for a do pass action on House Bill 1013 will signify by saying aye. Those opposed will signify by saying no. This is a roll call vote. Will the Secretary please call the roll?
Representative Blake.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Hawley.
Aye.
Hickey.
Aye.
Ironcloud.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Magstead.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Stickers. Munsterman.
Aye.
Boomgarden.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there were 12 yeas, 1 excused.
House Bill 1013 receives a vote of 12 to 0 and moves to the House floor. Representative Blake. Got a consent motion by Representative Blake, seconded by Representative Munsterman. This is a voice call vote. All those in favor of the motion for consent will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. House Bill 1013 is on the consent calendar. And that is it for our agenda this morning. Apologize for bringing you all in so early for a 15-minute meeting. We originally had 4 on the bill, and I had a lot of emails, so I was going to go a little bit longer than this anyway. The advantages are you will have first dibs at some of the breakfast downstairs. We have 2 additional bills on the committee, I believe. I keep your eyes open. I'm not sure yet if we'll have committee on Tuesday morning yet or not. With those 2 bills, we might just hold those till the following Thursday. So that'll be posted for sure by tomorrow noon. No other committee comments. We will go ahead and entertain a motion to adjourn. By Representative Munsterman and seconded by Representative Steele. All those in favor of the motion to adjourn signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. We are adjourned.